I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The poet and playwright Dan O'Brien joins me now. He has a new collection of poetry, Scarsdale. We'll discuss it, the poems therein, and what they represent of where he grew up, Scarsdale, New York, a suburb just north of Manhattan, about 50 kilometers. Poems in this book are evocative, they're revelatory, they represent the angst that young people encounter in their lives, as well as the attendant desires that come in one's formative years. The poems in this book revolve around Mr. O'Brien's family, his parents, his siblings, and the people that were around them in Scarsdale. I'll get him to tell us about his life there and what these poems mean to him. Dan O'Brien is the distinguished playwright of The Body of an American, which has won numerous awards, including the 2013 Edward M. Kennedy Prize for Drama, which incidentally tied with the play on Lyndon Johnson All the Way. It also received the Penn Center USA Award for Drama and the Horton Foote Prize. Dan O'Brien was last on for his book War Reporter, which was a collection of poems about the journalist Paul Watson. He's got a forthcoming collection of poems about Watson coming out next year. Scarsdale is published in the United Kingdom by CB Editions with an American edition for Measure Press shortly. The website for more is at danobrien.org. He joins me from Los Angeles, California. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Dan O'Brien. Mr. O'Brien, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So we all know Scarsdale, New York, because of the Jean Harris case, I guess.
Right.
The diet doctor that she shot.
Right.
So for those of us who might want to place Scarsdale in our minds, it's just north of New York. So what kind of place was it for you to grow up in?
Well, yeah, it's about, I think it's 22 or 24 miles north of Manhattan, and in some ways it's decidedly a satellite of Manhattan, you know, a bedroom community, I guess you'd call it, commuter community. And in other ways, it's a world away because it's a very affluent suburb. It's a beautiful suburb. It's, you know, in its own way, it's definitely suburban, but it's got its own almost rural appeal in some ways, even though, again, it's so close to the city and so close to other areas of the metro region that are very urban. It's, it used to occupy a kind of mythical place, I think, in the culture, you know, as sort of the quintessential affluent northeastern or even American suburb. So, you know, it popped up on Friends. I think there's a joke on Seinfeld. I think Kramer wins a Tony for a musical called Scarsdale Surprise, based on the Gene
Harris
murders.
Yeah.
And again, part of the Scarsdale fame is because of that murder, which I think was 1980, or was it even earlier? I'm not quite sure. So I think it has waned. I would say, you know, just from personal experience, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know, people seem to know of the town much more than they do today.
Was it an isolating place for you?
It was, I think, yeah. I mean, it was. I think it has a lot to do with my specific family, because my parents were very isolated, and so I'm one of six, so, you know, the family that they raised was very isolated from the community, and there was a lot of, my parents felt a lot of insecurity, I think, in terms of how much they did or did not fit in. You know, my parents, my mother was a housewife, my father was worked for himself in the home, whereas, you know, most people in Scarsdale worked in Manhattan. Lots of, you know, very high-paying and high, quote-unquote, high-power jobs. My parents very rarely, I don't think my father ever went into Manhattan when I was a kid. So even just to visit Manhattan was a world away to them, and they didn't like us to leave Scarsdale either. There was a certain amount of that feeling of isolation. I think the majority of it had to do with just the psychology of the family I was raised in.
So, people listening to us who perhaps have not picked up Scarsdale, but may have listened to the conversation we had about a year or so ago, know that you and your family, who are still in Scarsdale, is that right?
No, they moved. I have one sibling who still lives there.
I see.
But, the majority of my family is sort of spread around different parts of the country now. But they were, my parents grew up in Scarsdale, and they lived there till 2002. So they were a long time and deep roots in that town.
So a year or so ago, you told me that your relationship with your parents had ended. And so in reading this book, I sort of looked for, because I've never asked you about that, sort of the reasons why. And I do get a sense of that in this book. And so I'm curious to know, what do you want us to know about them in the course of writing the poems that are in Scarsdale?
I guess I want the reader to simply, or maybe not simply, complicatedly feel as much empathy as they can for the writer trying to figure out that question for himself, you know, because it still is a mystery to me why, you know, I was, without using the word, I was essentially disowned by my family about 8 years ago, and or most of my family. I'm somewhat in touch with a few of my siblings. So, you know, the writing of it was very much an attempt at trying to figure that out. What happened? What went wrong? Was there a reason? Is there some secret that I don't understand about my family? And you know, by writing this book, as well as a play that I've been working on that's very related to the book of poems, you know, I feel like I've gotten lots of answers. They've been smaller answers. They've been sort of pieces of a puzzle or a mosaic. And, you know, I think throughout the writing of the poetry collection and the related play, I felt a real desire to find one thing that could explain sort of the wreckage of or the mess of a family. And, you know, I didn't find that. The one thing being, I don't know, somebody has one of your parents has a secret life, or there's a sibling who's, you know, not related to you, or it's something shocking and surprising that would somehow explain it all. That didn't really happen, and I think it becomes really more an exploration of just the mystery of family relationships and the mystery of family love. I think cruelty as well. I think mental illness. I think part of maybe fundamental to what was wrong in our family was a lot of untreated, undiagnosed mental illness with my parents, but with myself and my siblings too. So yeah, I think the book is an attempt to sort of explore that. And you know, when I lost my family, it's so interesting to try to think of the right way to phrase it, because they didn't, you know, officially disown me; they just kind of disappeared. And so it felt like they all just sort of died or something, and I had no, I didn't know how or why. And you know, so the book, the memories in the book of poems came back with extra power at that time. A lot of them were memories I sort of, you know, still remembered from childhood, but they came back with a real sort of startling, you know, unbearable power that I wanted to try to put into words.
Do you think that the poems in this book are some of them perhaps are your way of mourning?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think it's it's a way to make sense of it. I mean, that's what writing always was for me as a kid when I first found it, and I think it is for most, if not all, writers or artists. You know, that just the simple fact of putting complicated, disturbing, confusing emotions and experiences into words, you know, fixing it on the page can help. Just telling the story, even if it doesn't solve the problem. You know, there's a God forbid, I use this word, but I'm going to, there's a therapeutic effect, you know, of course. So yeah, grieving, I think, is a good way to think about it, for sure.
So this is your story, and you're talking about other people in a lot of the poems in this book. Do you think those other people would perhaps object to the way that they're depicted in these poems?
You know, I'm sure they would. Some people that are depicted. I mean, I think it's very clearly through my sort of the prism of my memory and my experience, and they're not named, and you know, it's I think very closely aligned with the speaker, the poet. You know, so in that sense, I don't think they would have any right to be upset about it. You know, it's very clearly my story. But yeah, it's a tricky, difficult thing to write about family for that reason, because everybody's lives are so intertwined, at least at a certain point. You know, even if the situation is like me and you're estranged from your family, you're still writing about a time in your life when you were very connected to these people. But I think that's fascinating, too. I mean, the few siblings that I have some contact with, you know, we've discussed some of the memories in these poems. It's been interesting to see, of course, how we remember them differently and how certain facts have become, or certain things that I considered facts, you know, evolved over time from something much more ambiguous or evolved in the mind of the sibling in a different way. And, you know, that can sometimes cause anxiety because you want to be truthful, or I want to be as truthful as I can. At the same time, I think you can write about it in such a way that you're honest about the nature of memory, you know, and the complicated relationships in the family. But, yeah, I'm sure if the book is being read by, you know, I don't know who's reading the book or if they are or not in my family, you know, I'm sure it's something they don't enjoy having been written.
So some poets think that the act of committing poetry is revenge in the context of your book, Scarsdale. Do you subscribe to that notion?
Writing as revenge?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't. I think the fact that this book evolved over, I mean, my family started to fall apart more like 10 years ago when I started to write these poems, and then they disappeared about 8 years ago from my life. So it's been about 10 years, and I think the poems that probably did come out of a more angry place over time, I just dropped from the collection. Not because I think there's anything necessarily wrong with anger, but that idea of vengeance felt like a lesser art to me. I mean, I think, of course, in life, and if you're a writer, there are people that are deserving of writing, you know, very critical or angry things about, but because you know, I loved my family very deeply. You know, anything that felt too much like revenge or too much anger, I tried to take out of the collection. It doesn't mean there's an anger in some of these poems, but I think, I hope, there is anger that's closer to what you were talking about, that idea of grief, you know, that idea of confusion or, you know, like I said earlier, it was as if, you know, my entire family had gone down in a plane crash or something, you know. So just like in grief, there are all these different emotions, some of which is anger. There is some element of that. But I was conscious of not wanting that any poem that was sort of just too much about anger was a lesser poem somehow.
Well, one wonders when reading this poetry collection, Scarsdale, if this breach in your family's life is irreconcilable, could any of these poems in this book have been written as a way to reach out, perhaps, to anybody that with whom you don't have a relationship with today?
You know, not consciously. I think, again, so much of the work for me, just writing but also emotionally, you know, was to grieve, to move on, to accept that even if some of these family members wanted back into my life, you know, unless it was clear that they were receiving, you know, serious, you know, mental health treatment, or it would be a toxic, abusive thing for me. So there wasn't any conscious, desire to reach out to them. I think, I think it's sort of unconsciously or subtextually in the poems, there is a desire for them to understand what it was like to, mm-hmm. A, to grow up in that sort of family, and B, to lose them in the violent, or to be, you know, cast off by them in what felt like a very violent way. Maybe on a kind of subtextual level, there's a desire that somebody would, from my family, would read it and understand it, but I do truly feel like I've grieved their losses if they've passed away.
What's the process in putting a collection like this together? Because some of the poems have appeared elsewhere, and I'm assuming that you didn't write any of them for a specific collection like this. So, and you've already talked about the process that you've taken in terms of, say, dropping some poems that you've written previously. So how do you decide what's in between these covers of Scarsdale?
It's a long, for me, at least with this book, it was a long process of, just writing the poems and sort of intermittently going back and seeing what kind of group was evolving. And I think from very early on, I felt like, because there was a very distinct beginning to this group of poems, I did feel like this would be a cohesive book maybe one day if somebody, if they kept coming out the way they were, and if somebody wanted to publish it. And also because I'm a playwright as well, I do tend to think in terms of a narrative arc. I think some poets will, a collection will be in some ways, more just the best of, the greatest hits from the last 5 years or something. There's, of course, more to it, I think, but there isn't necessarily as much of a concept behind a collection of poetry with a lot of poetry collections. So because my background as a playwright and, writing things with sort of character development and narrative arc, I did have a sense that this would be more of a cohesive collection. But part of it is just writing, hundreds of poems and discarding the ones that didn't seem to fit or didn't seem as strong. And then sort of developing the structure and the order of the poems in a way that, to me at least, suggests a kind of narrative progression, even if it isn't strictly chronological, which it's not. One thing I love about poetry is the amount of mystery you can have in a poem. And I think if it's done artfully, it allows the reader to pour themselves into the experience of the poem, to see themselves in the poem. So, I don't want it to read like fiction or nonfiction, like prose. But, again, it did feel like it was important to, I think earlier you used the word memoir, to really create a poetic memoir that felt like a story of just my specific childhood.
Do you worry, though, that the reader, and I'm speaking of myself in this, when I read this book, and you talk about mystery in writing a poem, that I might get nosy and start asking you things that perhaps I have no business asking?
It doesn't bother me, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think it's been interesting to me so far with the book, having a few reviews and interviews and things here and there, to, I think I've assumed that the book reveals much more than maybe it does. I did just say I hope that there's mystery in it. So I actually feel in some ways like I've laid it all out there, for better or for worse, No, it doesn't bother me. Maybe, of course, it depends on the specific question and who I'm talking to and what time and everything. But I think it's so important to me with this book, and also with the previous collection, War Reporter, even though it's in so many ways such a different type of collection, in that it's about another person, it's about a combat journalist and his life in that field. Both books are concerned with telling the truth about very uncomfortable, often denied aspects of life. And it's not that I don't think life is full of beauty and joy. I think that that's true. But I've always felt compelled to write about things that people don't want to talk about and are afraid of or disturbed by, including myself. I know often that I should write about something or I want to write about something because it scares me. So for me, maybe it's a perverse thing in my nature, but if people read these poems and want to, open up to me about their own experience of growing up in a certain type of family or whatever, I'm interested by that. I think that's important. It's an important part of the work for me.
Yeah, but both collections deal with damage, and they also deal with healing. I mean, that's my view of it, and I guess I want to know from you as the person who wrote these poems. Does that make healing easier, say?
Did it make it easier to have
committed all these poems to paper?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And to share them with people. It's not poetry's not a big audience. That's why I'm so happy you've been willing to interview me. And who knows if that's 20 people or 200 people or 2,000. As a playwright, I have the same issue. Not many people see plays compared to who sees films or watched TV. That aside, you know, sheer numbers aside, it's also, you know, the being in dialogue with people about these issues is, I think, what's, and about these stories, witnessing each other's challenges. I mean, you know, the first poet who meant an enormous amount to me was Anne Sexton. I don't know if you've read her poetry, but she was, you know, very famous in the 60s and 70s for, you know, I guess what you'd call confessional, or certainly confessional verse, and very dark stuff, often about suburbia, and about women's experience in suburbia. But when I first read those poems, I felt, you know, so much less alone. I felt like, oh, this is, there are wonderful things about life, but then there are also very dark things, and thank God somebody's willing to talk about them, to try to shape those experiences with art, you know, to find a kind of beauty or healing, as you said, through the act of framing something that, you know, aspects of life that can be chaotic and damaging and destructive. So for me, even though, you know, people can read these poems or read War Reporter and say, oh, this is dark stuff or this is heavy stuff, you know, I feel, well, you know, when I was much younger, I remember seeing Long Day's Journey Into Night, the film version with Katharine Hepburn.
Right.
And, you know, the group of students I was with, and most of them looked morbid, you know, horribly depressed after the screening. And I walked out of there feeling like I was walking on air. You know, the fact that, okay, yeah, it was very sad, but it was this beautiful, artful construction that made, that somehow salvaged or helped transcend the pain that obviously, you know, O'Neill felt and his family felt, that there was great love in it. I mean, you know, he wanted to be dead, I think, 35 years before it was staged or published, because he wanted to protect, you know, his relatives. That didn't happen, but he wanted that. That said, I think you can't help but feel the love he felt for his very screwed up parents and brother and himself, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, every author I talk to would like everybody to read their book, but is there someone specific in mind who would find Scarsdale useful, perhaps?
I think if you're dealing with, I mean, I think, you know, there are much more dysfunctional families than what I grew up with, and there are much less dysfunctional families, but I think, you know, there's something somewhat universal in the story of a fairly dysfunctional family. I think a lot of people could still identify with that, and sort of. But I think anyone who's been through, you know, an experience similar to what I've been going through with my family would find an extra connection to it or in it. I wonder if people from, you know, sort of my generation in that part of the country would find something interesting in it, in terms of, to what degree it might or might not capture that time and that place, the 70s and 80s in suburban New York.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you're developing this into something for the stage. Is that correct?
That's right. It's kind of it's in sort of a parallel project, but you know, it's both in the stage development, where there've been readings and workshops, so hopefully a play will come along. It's a bit less. The poetry collection really is sort of, you know, these discrete memories of childhood that have, you know, passed through a certain poetic, you know, filter. And the play is much closer to documentary, as I have been spending a good deal of time tracking down as many estranged relatives as I can find, more extended family relatives, to try to interview them and to try to figure out, to ask them what was going on and what went wrong and why did it all sort of turn out this way. So it's a bit more, the play is a bit more present tense in that regard, although, of course, it deals with people looking back and trying to figure out the past.
And in trying to understand the past, and I know you're a fairly new dad, does that change, say, how you are as a parent, understanding what you went through as a kid, say?
It does. I mean, you know, you can't help but think about that mistake, or maybe not mistake, but that reaction that everybody has, where they say, well, okay, I'm going to be a different type of parent in these specific ways because I didn't like this, that, and the other thing. So I'm sure there's that going on so far. I mean, my daughter's only a year and a half old, of course. I think so far it's made me have greater sympathy or empathy for kids that don't receive a lot of love, or kids that might have very mentally ill parents, because I see how much, you know, how much practical and sort of emotional love we give our child. And it does make me think about how in a family of six kids, it was a very neglected environment, if not, you know, abusive at times. So, you know, and it does to some degree bring back some memories in a new way, because you're seeing, you're remembering your own childhood from the perspective of an actual child, you know, in front of you. So it's been interesting so far. But if anything, it just makes me value and sort of cherish what I have with our daughter, you know, and to want to again to give as much love as I can, because when, you know, again, it was a dysfunctional family. It wasn't, there was no physical abuse, there was no sexual abuse that I know of, but it was a family where, you know, no one was really touched, or certainly nobody was, you know, the word love was never used. It was, an emotionally and verbally abusive place quite often. And then for long stretches of time, it was just, neglect and loneliness and isolation. So being a parent, and that's one reason I probably waited as long as I did to have a child, was this sort of fear of repeating, somehow, almost magically, you know, repeating the childhood that I had. And I'm glad that I've been through what I've been through in the last, you know, 8 or 10 years, that sort of that grieving and healing process, because I do feel, I just feel more on top of what I want to do as a parent.
Dan, thanks for this. This is a tremendous collection. It left me quite melancholy in some parts, but you know, I guess that's what life is. It's everything in life, you know, that one feels in these formative years that you've borne out in these pages, and whether we like it or not, we read oneself in it. So thanks for this,
and
I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you, John. I really appreciate your interest in poetry, first of all, but in this book in particular.
Congratulations on the book, Dan, and continued good luck with it.
Thank you.
The website for more, danobryan.org. The book is called Scarsdale. It's from CB Editions. It's author Dan O'Brien. Join me on the line from Los Angeles and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Ponta.